Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Morning, church. You know I'm not talking to the building, right? Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. It's good to see you all this morning. Let me get all settled here. Isn't that a nice table? That's my safety table. Sometimes I rely on it. I lean on it. Makes me feel good. So it might make sense later. I don't know. But anyway, so before we go anywhere, why don't you see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it. This is grade A material here, people. Pastor Ashley gave me a sympathy laugh, so I'll take it. She's still giggling. Okay, who's this fool on the platform? Well, I'm glad you asked, because my name's Eric Shaw. I think technically still on the teaching team around here. I'm a pastor with the Assemblies, and currently, since December, I've been in Sandusky. I was sent there to do some CPR on a church that's in trouble, and so your prayers in that direction would be greatly appreciated. So, right? Like, boom! Live! Okay, so anyway. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to help take some of the load off for my pastor, Pastor Kevin, who's on sabbatical. So it's good to be here with you this morning. So what I have learned recently is a renewed hatred for religion. Now, I realize that that statement might be confusing to some people. So what's the next slide? Religion is bad. What? I mean, I'm in church, right? What? So I understand that that might be confusing. So I'm going to give you 10 sermons in 2 minutes to justify that. You ready? Okay, hold on. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Religion makes those who believe in him feel like they know him. Religion makes people in bondage feel as if they are not. Religion focuses on the external rather than the internal. It focuses on the outward expression versus inward transformation. Religion takes 10 commandments and turns them into 613. Relationship takes those same 10 commandments and turns them into 2. Love God, love people. Religion makes people think they can bridge the gap between them and God by their efforts or performance. Religion focuses on behavior instead of being. Religion might offer morals, but only relationship offers purity and freedom. Are you hearing me? This is good stuff. This is too much. I'm not even to my intro yet. Religion keeps the focus on you instead of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Religion stands between you and Jesus hates it. Jesus' strongest words were against the Pharisees, who were very moral people, but were dirty and dead inside because they focused only on religion. We'll talk more about Jesus' feelings toward religion in just a minute. Now, when I heard that, Pastor Kevin, we set this up back in October. When I heard that I was going to be speaking about the Emoji Jesus series, my brain immediately went to... Now, if you know me at all, you know I spent time fasting and praying, like, how can I fit that into the Gospels? Let me see, how can I do that? So, just leave that up there for a while. You don't see that in church every day. So... in Sandusky, we recently did a series where I wanted to focus on the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus, not the hipster Jesus, not the millennial Jesus, not the Republican Jesus, not the Democrat Jesus, the biblical Jesus, and with the intent of overturning some of the misconceptions and some of the caricatures of Jesus that are out there in our culture, but also in our churches. We have people that have grown up in church who don't even really know who he is. And so we stare at things, right? We have images. We have things that we look at. Now, you know, people might have pictures on their walls like my grandma used to have, right? Like, I used to stare at those and like, that just looks kind of weird. I mean, there was emaciated Jesus. You know, there was shepherd Jesus with the little lamb around his neck. You know Jesus wasn't a shepherd, right? There was preschool teacher Jesus with the children. There was Jesus with the halos. There was the one with the heart and the thorns and a flaming cross popping out of the top. I mean, it was metaphor overload. You know, and some of us find this helpful to connect, and I'm not belittling that, but symbols that sometimes don't reflect anything related to real life. But that's why we're comfortable with them, because they don't challenge us, because really they're irrelevant to our everyday lives. The religious icons that say safely on the shelf or on the wall, categorized into their appropriate religious category that we can sometimes nod ahead towards periodically. Today I want to look at a real picture of Jesus that will hopefully challenge us, but also cause us to look into our own hearts. So with that, would you stand with me as we read God's word together? We're going to be in Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Got those on the screen for you. They came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple and began to throw out those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves and would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. He was teaching them, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" The chief priests and scribes heard it and started looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was astonished by his teaching. Let's pray. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you to come. Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to bring us the real Jesus in this place, that you would walk in here, that you would confront us, that you would bring freedom, as you always do. Wherever you are, things happen. And I'm asking for that to happen this morning, and it can only happen by the power of your Spirit. So come, would you please, and please, please, please fill me with your Spirit, enable me to speak as I should. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we just read a passage. Go ahead and have a seat. We just read a passage together that kind of has a whole different picture of Jesus, doesn't it? Go ahead and throw that next thing up. Yeah. Why don't you put that on your wall? Yeah, get a little video screen. Just keep that sucker running up there. I mean, we read these passages in the Bible, and we breeze through them like, oh, yeah, he did this, and there was a cleansing of it. But we don't actually, like, picture what's happening. That's Jesus doing that stuff. The guy with the little lamb around his neck, you know that one? Same Jesus. Jesus, you mad, bro? Go ahead. No, keep that up there. I want that sucker looping until Jesus comes back. Yeah, oops. All right. So, like, you know, we see somebody doing that. We're like, hey, you're not acting very Christ-like. I mean, just picture somebody at the mall doing something like that. Jesus, what? Fruit of the Spirit, man. Where's the love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Jesus, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You need to go pray. Come on, I'm trying to make a point here. We have a picture of Jesus that doesn't match with reality. It's part of him, but you need to look at the whole picture of Jesus. That's him. And you know, all four Gospels, yeah, just keep that sucker looping, man. I like that. All four Gospels record a cleansing of the temple, but John's Gospel records a cleansing that happened earlier in Jesus' ministry. And in John's Gospel, he recounts that Jesus made a whip and he was cracking it on everybody. Yeah. Don't you sometimes want to just make a whip and just go wild out on some people? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was cracking it on people. He was cracking it on the animals. I mean, PETA would be going insane. So listen, when your child sees in your face that it is time for a reckoning, and they ask you, but Mom, what would Jesus do? You remind them that making a whip and flipping tables is within the realm of possibilities. Boy, I will tell you what Jesus would do. I'm tempted to just let that sucker play the whole time. Go ahead and go to the next slide. We're doing emoji Jesus. We're going to talk about angry Jesus. Look at him up in the corner. He's all mad. That's angry Jesus. Go ahead and go to the next slide. In our passage today, it referred to the court of the Gentiles, and there's a picture of it for you. The court of the Gentiles is a place where God-fearing Gentiles who believed in and worshiped the God of the Jews could come and worship and offer sacrifices, give offerings, etc. But it had turned into a marketplace, supply, demand, the whole thing that always happens from the beginning of history. Buy cheap, sell high, weighted scales, some corruption, that's the word I'm looking for, some corruption had crept into the system. So there was weighted scales, there was a system set up to enrich people, there was a currency exchange for a fee, right? Anybody been to the airport and travel and you got the money changer there? Well, I don't begrudge them charging a fee. That's how they make their money and they pay salaries and so on. But there was even more that was charged, and there was a whole bunch of corruption. So there was money from three sources that circulated in early Israel: Roman money, Greek money, and local Jewish money, which was called the Tyrian. And that was the only coinage accepted for the annual half-shekel temple tax. So Gentiles had to come in, exchange their money for the local currency in order to begin to make sacrifices. And inside of that process, there was corruption that crept in. And then we read again, Jesus came into the temple and threw out those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. Can you imagine what they thought when Jesus came in and started flipping out? Jesus, you're focused on the wrong enemy here. Go get the Romans. They're the bad guys, not us. You ever thought Jesus was on your side only to figure out he's looking right at you? And he's not looking happy. I know. Jesus is always smiling at us. I know. And he wants to give you a flower and a hug. But listen, sometimes he brings correction into our lives. And I know that you're sitting there today and you're thinking, boy, I hope so-and-so's listening to this today. Stop it. I want you to listen for you today. Okay, Armin, all right, okay. Jesus, attack the Romans, flip their tables. Why are you messing with us? This is all for God. Jesus, go flip Congress's tables. Go flip Trump's tables. Go flip Obama's tables. Go flip the Democrats' tables, the courts. Go flip California into the ocean. Go. I think I hit her nerve. But Jesus is looking at you. He's looking at you. You know, the answer to all those problems out there, is the church. It's always been the church. That's God's answer. That's his plan A, and there's no plan B. It's the church. And judgment begins with the house of God. It's always been the church. The religious crowd, in our passage today is angry at the one that they're supposed to be representing, and they're angry and they want to kill him. But why was Jesus so angry? Hopefully we'll answer that. Verse 16 says, "And Jesus would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple." People were taking shortcuts. People loaded with merchandise were taking shortcuts through this area, through the temple. They were taking an Uber from one part of the city right through the temple to another part of the city, and it was becoming like a highway. And so people were taking shortcuts. You know, regular people were going through this area completely oblivious to who, not only who was in the temple at the time, but also what was happening in the temple. And regular people trying to get free, regular people trying to find purpose, regular people trying to find healing, but they're so focused on trying to make a buck and taking some shortcuts to get where they think they need to go, they were bypassing the one who was right there that could give them everything they ever needed. Shortcuts to character. We try and take shortcuts all the time. We try and take shortcuts to character. You know, Jesus will lead you around the desert until what needs to die inside of you dies. There's no shortcuts to character. I mean, Jesus, I know geometry. And I know that the quickest way from point A to point B is a straight line. Has anybody ever experienced Jesus leading you in a straight line anywhere? Because I've been doing this a while, and I have yet to experience that. I mean, it's like, been here before. Yeah, you can, you know, and you're just all over and getting dizzy. But there's no shortcuts to character, because it's not about where you're going. It's about what he's trying to do inside of you. Shortcuts to conscience. You know, these people that were taking shortcuts through the temple, they were just near enough to the presence to feel better about themselves. There's people that come to church. There's people that do things. They're just near enough to the presence to feel better about their lives. And that's why we like things like pictures and icons and those little scripture snacks we like. You know, put it on a coffee mug. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know. And I love that on the coffee mug and in the gym, right? That's every gym everywhere. It's like, I could do all the, you know. We love those little scripture snacks, but we don't sit down to the meal ever. Religious activity to soothe our consciences. We'll travel an hour and a half to a worship concert to soothe our torment, just like Saul bringing in David to soothe his demons. But we can't even get into the quiet place with God, let alone make it to church. Man, are you going to that concert? You know, they're going to be in Akron. Let's go. Let's do it. I don't care what it takes, what it costs. I'm going to get there. I'm going to have an experience. Listen, I'm not begrudging that. I love it. I love being there. But when that's a shortcut to what God is calling you to do and trying to do in you, and it's a shortcut to not getting alone with God, then there's a problem there. Proximity to the presence does not transform. It's only when his presence is our priority that we truly arrive where we've been trying to get to. Shortcuts to salvation. You know, we're much more comfortable when we're in control, aren't we? That's the attraction of religion. It's the illusion of control. You know, religion places you in control of your life, your holiness, your peace, your of mind, your destiny, your everything, but we never truly arrive anywhere. We never achieve what we're truly longing for. It's the proverbial carrot just out of reach. You know, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe that he died and rose again on the third day, and many people think that that's all it means to be a Christian. Is I can check the correct boxes. You know the devil believes all the right things, right? He knows. And so we get in this trap of religion where it's only about belief and it's only about outward actions and so on. So if we mess up, we just need to say 7 of these and 10 of these and help an old lady across the street, and then your sin will be erased. Listen, when the elements of faith become the object of faith, they become the enemy of the faith. When the elements of faith become the object of faith, they become the enemy of faith. Religion didn't walk around setting people free. Jesus did that. Religion didn't walk around healing people. Jesus did that. Religion didn't bring the outcast close. Jesus did that. And he's calling us into a relationship with him. Parents, when you teach and model religion and morality to your children alone, children will ultimately reject it, because religion is powerless in the crises of life. Only a relationship with Jesus, built on the rock, can weather the storms that this life brings us. I'm running out of time. I know you first service people, you like to come here because you know the pastor's on the clock and he's got to get you out of here. I got you. Like, we're getting up early because you know how those preachers are. I'm just going to... Listen, I'll tell you a story. It made me angry. I had a friend of mine from high school pass away recently. Young man, same age as me. Young guy. And so I traveled back to my hometown. Went to the church where the service was being held, and I sat down, and I'm going to try and keep it. The person who was speaking, the content of what he was saying was essentially love, 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 blah, love, blah, love, love. There was no context. There was no true meaning. Come on, you know, we like to speak about love. We don't even know what love means in this country. We're in love with being in love. As long as we use the word love, we're like, yeah, love. I like love. And it was just love, love, love. And it was just meaningless sentiment that was being offered. There was no hope being offered. There were no answers being offered. No truth that sets people free. It was just scriptural sounding nonsense. So I'm getting a little irritated, right? Just a little bit. I'm like, okay, just chill out, dude. It's a funeral. And so, you know, but I saw people that I care about reciting spiritual words, and they were doing certain actions and on cue and bowing to an idol and performing rituals, and people that I know are not followers of Christ. But because of their religious activity, they feel justified, but they don't know him. It goes against everything that Jesus taught and the rest of the New Testament teaches us. And what set me off, okay, so I'm sitting there being a fairly good Christian. And so, how are we doing today? Okay. So we're sitting there, and then I'm trying to be careful. The person says, you know, I encourage you to pray for Tom. I'm like, he's dead. Why are we praying for him? And then he goes on, and I even encourage you to pray to Tom, for he is in the presence of the Lord. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. And like people thought I had some kind of gastrointestinal distress or something, or maybe I was overcome with grief or something, but I'm doubled over trying to bite my tongue. And as I processed my rage, I realized it wasn't just this particular branch of the church. It's found in some degree to every church. And it's found to some degree in all of our hearts. The tendency to trust in our own efforts to reach God, handle our salvation, be arbiters of our own righteousness. But there's a particular evil in a whole system that is set up to supplant a person connecting directly to God through Jesus Christ as our one and only mediator. A system that sometimes we can get into where it says, as long as you do X, Y, Z religious activity, you're in. Nothing about a person's heart. Nothing about a personal relationship with God. Nothing which Jesus died to restore. He died to put us in relationship with Him. And it happens in the church when a church says that our particular way of approaching God is the only right way. Our way of worshiping is the only right way. Our way of connecting people to God is the only right way. Unless you have this certificate, this pedigree, this particular experience, then you are not a legitimate Christ follower. Now, I'm not saying that there's no standards, that every way is the right way. That's ridiculous. We have a standard. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Bible. And in the Bible, it teaches us that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for you're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not from works so that nobody can boast. It's grace. It's given to us. He wants us to enjoy Him. All right, I need to land this plane. Why don't you stand with me? So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? You know, 1 John 2:6 says that whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. So we read about this in the temple. We read about Jesus' response. And what do we do? There's no temple. Or is there? Aren't we the temple? How do we follow and emulate Jesus in this? For most of us, that's going to turn into the form of ruthless aggression, violence. But violence that's turned inwards towards our own tendencies to rely on religion rather than Jesus. All of us have this inner Pharisee that must continually be confronted. All of us have a tendency to rely upon our own actions rather than trust God. All of us would prefer a prescription rather than a process. Maybe you've been trying to come to Jesus for years, but you keep bumping into tables full of religion. Maybe you're here today and you feel an unraveling of everything you've been taught. You're feeling really uncomfortable, maybe even offended. Maybe you feel a desperation rising up in your heart. Maybe it's mixed with an anger and a frustration of feeling trapped by all the powerless garbage that has pretty labels, but it's powerless to set you free. Maybe you're tired of getting your quick religious fix to feel better, but nothing ever changes. Maybe you feel courage rising up and refuse to take any more shortcuts to draw near to the presence, but not yield to the presence. Maybe you've had enough where you don't care about what anybody thinks anymore. Maybe you're tired of weak and powerless Jesus that stays on the wall and are ready to embrace a Jesus who doesn't smile all the time, but rather He comes after us with a ferocity, willing to remove any and all obstacles that you... I mean, you sang about it earlier. No wall you won't kick down. No lie you won't tear down in coming after Me. So listen, I know you like to come to church and get comfortable and, hey, you need to inspire me today. And I get that. I've been places in my life where I just needed to come. But listen, if you're relying on religion, if you had a particularly bad week and a particularly sinful week, but hey, I need to go to church, you're relying on religion rather than Jesus. You've got stuff in your way, and I wish you would be like Jesus and just get it out of your way. What's standing in your way? He died to bring you into relationship with Him, not to do religious activity. I mean, there's things that we do because we want to grow in Him and we want to just, but we do that from a place of freedom. We want to grow in our knowledge of Him. But our activity doesn't save us. Jesus does. Yep. Our activity doesn't make us whole. Jesus does. Our activity doesn't set us free. Jesus does. So listen, I know I'm out of time, but I'm going to ask the prayer team. You guys are here. Would you come on forward? I'm all at a table, so you're safe. Come on up here. And so I want to ask, if you're here this morning and you realize that you've been just relying on the stuff of Jesus rather than the person of Jesus, and you're stuck, get free. Get free. Are you stuck in addictions? Get free. Religion can't do that. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can do that. So listen, I want to pray, and I know, mercy, running out of time like usual. Okay, but I want to create some time for this because I feel it's important. If you're here this morning, would you bow your heads with me? If you're here this morning, and maybe you've heard this a million times, but you don't know Jesus. You know about him. You have a certificate. You have an experience in the past, but you don't know him. And you want to say, I need to get free. And I'm not going to let anything get in my way this morning. I'm tired of it. I refuse to stay where I'm at. If that's you this morning, would you simply raise your hand up real quick and say, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm going to run if I have to, but I'm going to make it quickly. Hands up, and then right back down. Thank you. I see those. Any others? Quickly. Thank you, Lord. Every head up, every eye open. If you're here and you raised your hand or you have any other prayer needs this morning, the team is here to pray with you. Would you make your way forward? And the rest of you, if you need to go, you're dismissed. Have a great week. But let's just be respectful of having some time up here of prayer. But if you raised your hand or you'd like prayer, please make your way forward this morning. God bless you.